Hello, and welcome to Shamanic Works on Wednesday, the 20th of December. I'm Laurie, and we are one day away from the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, the time when the sun, our source of light and warmth, has reached its southernmost and lowest point in the sky, when the days are at their shortest, the nights are at their longest, and darkness holds the world. It seems right that we gather, even though it is in cyberspace, at this dark time of year, on this night of nights, to listen to the old stories and to step together through the veil into the darkness of mystery of what we do not yet know and may not yet be aware is there to be known. So I'm inviting you to come with me to visit the darkness within, which mirrors the darkness without, to explore the liminal spaces of body and mind, the borderlands, where miracles can occur, where healing reaches out to touch you, and where you find your place amongst the community of living beings, seen and unseen, who are this earth, your home. So make yourself as comfortable as can be. If possible, turn off the lights, maybe light a candle. Find a cloth, perhaps, with which you might cover your eyes, if you so desire, and have it near to you so that if you need it, you can easily put a hand to it. You may also want to have a pen and paper nearby for later. If incense helps you, light some. Or just notice your body, miracle that it is, the physical, visible, living form of your incorporeal, invisible, true self. And rest there, held, cradled, danced. Feel the drumming of your very own heart and the tide of your breath coming in and going out, providing you without being asked or forced with life-giving air. Feel the strength in your muscles and how solid your bones are, the grace in your limbs and the willingness of your feet to pursue your soul's true path. Now, find east. In the Northern Hemisphere, east is just a little to the left of where the sun rises. In the southern hemisphere, it is a little to the right. If you have no idea, simply declare a direction east, and it will be magical east for you for the duration of this program. When you have located your east, turn to face that direction, or simply allow a bit of your attention to be drawn in that direction, and we will begin, as always, in shamanic work, by opening sacred space. Spirits of the East, you who throw open the gates of the dawn and invite us to greet the sun, you who are the midwives of new beginnings in ourselves and in our lives, the nurturers of the seedling and the infant, the nourishers of that which is tender and not yet strong, the fierce defenders of that which is awkward and young. Teach us to nurture, nourish, and defend our new beginnings, to allow ourselves to be weak and ignorant when we begin, so that we may grow to be strong and wise. Be present here with us now. Make your wisdom known. Now we will turn a quarter to the right and face south. Spirits of the South, you who carry in your hands the fury of fire, the heat of midday, the fruition and deep satisfaction of high summer, you who are the dancers of exaltation and the singers of mighty songs, who fill our mouths with laughter and our hearts with joy, even while our eyes brim with tears, teach us to stand skin to skin with the earth, our mother, to feel her breath in our own lungs and the surging tides of her oceans in the pulse of our own blood. Be present here with us now. Make your wisdom known. And again, we will turn a quarter turn to the right and face the west. Spirits of the West, you who throw open the gates of dusk at the closing of the day, who prepare our eyes with your gentle twilight for the velvety darkness of the night, You who teach us to be impeccable warriors with no need of enemies in this life or in any other, to travel light so that we may dance across the rainbow bridge into the unseen and the unknown and bring back the wealth of wisdom we find there, to be powerful and utterly powerless in the space of the same breath. Teach us, teach us, teach us. Be present here with us now. Make your wisdom known. We turn a further quarter turn to the right and face north. Spirits of the North, you and who inhabit the grace, with grace the dark and hidden places, amongst whom are our ancestors, those who have the heart to make the epic journey beyond death, and to return to stand at our side, to guide and teach us, and at our back to defend us, ancestors of our DNA and ancestors of our hearts, teach us also to journey through and beyond life on no resources, sipping the sweetness from each moment as a hummingbird sips drops of nectar and finds abundant sustenance there. Be present here with us now. Make your wisdom known. And now, if you can, raise your hands over your head towards the above, or let your attention wander upwards. Spirits of above, Papa Sol, our star, Grandmother Moon, who stretches our days and nights and marks out the months, star nations from whose dust we and this earth our home and mother are formed, shine your light upon us, that we may see clearly the path we are walking, individually and together. That choices as yet unimagined and uninvented may become visible to us. Let your wisdom mingle with ours, so that our steps are guided by both. Be present here with us now. Make your wisdom known. And then reach to the below, the earth. Earth, my mother, earth, my mother, earth, my mother, you of whose stuff we are and from whom we arose and back to whom we return and whose we remain the whole time in between, remind us always that we are bone of your bone, blood of your blood, breath of your breath. Teach us to walk with grace upon your skin, to dance with generosity upon your belly, and to walk in beauty with all our relations, your other children. You are present here now. Make your wisdom known. Here we are then, in the embrace of this sacred space, held and surrounded by the divine and the infinite, present here in your own space and time. Shortly, we will be embarking, if you're willing, on an inward voyage into your body and into the dark of what is not yet known. I invite you to undertake this with a child's mind, with the mind that does not hold preconceived ideas about what you will encounter, but simply allows the experience to unfold. During this voyage, you will hear rattling, this serves two purposes. One is that regular percussion aids a meditative and imaginative state of mind and body, often called the shamanic state of consciousness. You will have experienced it before, whether you have identified it as shamanic or not. It happens in dreams that are lucid and partly conscious, and also in those moments between waking and sleeping, when the boundaries between the seen and unseen worlds are thin, and insights may pop through unbidden and unexpected. The second reason is that this is radio, and silence makes radio uneasy. So out of kindness to our host, our meeting ground, I will use rattling to fill the spaces when I'm silent and you are meeting with spirit on the field of your imagination. That way you will know that I have not just walked away, and you will be held in the weaving of the rattle, and our kind radio host can relax. So now would be your time to adjust the light levels where you are, make any changes to your seating or lying down arrangements so that you're comfortable and you can and warm and you can remain in that position for a while. We'll be doing this for a while, not maybe 15 minutes. Cover your eyes if you wish to, and allow your mind and body to settle. I invite you, here in this safe space, to drop into darkness by closing your eyes, either by completely closing them, maybe covering them with a scarf or your arm, or just lowering your lids so that your vision is shadowed by your eyelashes, giving you what is called the shaman's sight. We will follow an ancient formula in beginning this inward voyage. We close our eyes and take ourselves into darkness that we may see more clearly with our inner eye. We stop. We allow our minds to still and the cares of the day to fade. They will still be there when we return. So we stop in anticipation of the work to come. We honor the work we are undertaking by setting aside the concerns of our bodies and of our minds and anticipating the work ahead. We close our eyes that we may see more clearly. We stop in anticipation of the work to come, and we drop into the arms of spirit. We drop into the arms of our true selves and of our bodies. So having closed your eyes and stopped engaging with the concerns of the hour and dropped into the arms of spirit and your body, I invite you simply to be here in your body. Feel the tide of your breath as it sweeps in and out. Nothing to do about it. No need to push or pull, to force a rhythm. Just notice how it brings you life by sweeping in and by sweeping out again. The great tide of your breath, without being asked or told, it sweeps in and it sweeps out, the tide. Now allow a bit of your attention to drift to the places where your body meets the earth, in her guise of chair, floor, carpet, sofa. Notice how you pull towards her. Notice how she rises up to meet you and support you. The earth supporting you, the tide of your breath, sweeping in, sweeping out. Nothing to do, just notice. And when you are ready, I invite you to allow a sliver of your attention to drift downward through your body, circling, spiraling, in a twisting gyre down, always downward, into the strong cradle of your pelvis, like a hammock slung between your hips, and into your dark cave of knowing. If you are a woman, this cave is your womb. Whether or not, you still have your physical womb. And if you are a man, this dark cave of knowing sits right above your perineum, that muscle providing your pelvic floor, your support, between the place of urination and the place of defecation, the ultimate betwixt and between of our bodies, betwixt and between right and left, before and behind, above and below, a gateway to mystery in and of itself. So, allow your attention to drift into this deep and dark cave of knowing, deep within your body and dark with mystery. Allow the darkness to enfold you and the warmth to wrap itself around you, and know that you are home. Rest here. Listen to your body, to the creaks and the murmurs, to the rush of circulating blood, to the beat of the great drum of your own heart, and to the tide of your breath, coming in, going out, nurturing you. And although you are in the dark and in the depths of your own body, you are not alone. You are here in and with your body, whose promise is to hold you, to carry you, to support you, to teach you, to be you in this alchemical marriage of matter and spirit we call life on earth, until all of your appointments here are met. Our bodies are not just our vehicles, our carriers. They are our teachers. They, along with the rest of nature, will teach us to be fully human beings if we will still our minds, drop into the dark of their arms, and listen. So allow yourself to rest here in this dark cave of knowing, deep in your own body, your home. And as you rest, allow this thought to drift across you like the barest breath of a breeze, that our ancestors, the first shamans, the first seers, the first humans, after fasting and drumming and dancing and beseeching in their caves within the earth, painted on those walls, and you will remember cave paintings, you've seen photographs, if you've not been in the presence of them, painted on those walls, not what they carried into the caves in their minds, rather, they painted what they saw coming towards them through the walls of their caves. The animals who were their food, spirit allies who appeared as part human and part beast, ancestors arriving to advise and empower them, carrying healing in their hands and in their songs. So here is an invitation for you. As you drop more deeply into the dark of your cave of knowing, begin to call out silently to your own ancestors, the ancestors of your DNA and the ancestors of your heart, the ancestors of your spiritual lineage, to those who had the heart to make the epic journey beyond death and to return, who love you, who watch over you, and who protect you, who place clues in your path that point to your true self. Call to them, gently or urgently, however your heart and body move you to, and wait. And now allow your inward eyes to wander over the walls of your cave. Notice the texture of the rocks, the shape of the cave itself, the patterns the firelight makes on the surfaces. Look out through the walls of your cave to see who might be approaching you. From beyond this physical dimension, from beyond our ordinary world, from beyond your conscious self, all the while knowing that you are embraced by your body, held safe in your own dark cave of knowing. See them the grandmothers and grandfathers of your lineages, as they approach the tissue-thin walls of your cave. And with your permission, and at your invitation only, enter there one by one. Some may be bold, others more reserved, still others shy as wild beasts. They are there only at your invitation, so they are perfect for you. They are yours, your ancestors, as you are their descendant. Introduce yourself to them and invite them to approach you one by one, as they will, with whatever wisdom or message or gift or request they bring. Some may be strong in what they say to you, others may be utterly mysterious. I invite you to listen with an open heart so that you can remember with your heart and with your body in preparation for making your own choices about your future actions. But for now, listen and let them speak. They come to you with treasures from beyond space and time. It is likely that they know the concerns of your heart, the state of your soul, and of your life before you can speak them. So allow them to come near and whisper to you. Listen. They bring you gifts and their love. They promise to give you aid, to answer when you call, to have your back, to walk beside you, to offer wise counsel, to surround you with their compassionate presence. You have but to listen. As they begin to fade, one by one, back into the walls of your deep cave of knowing, send your thanks after them. Gratitude, as you doubtless know, is the first tool in becoming as fully human and as fully yourself as possible. So I encourage and invite you to use it at every opportunity, every day. Send out your thanks now for meeting each one of your ancestors, for whatever messages they may have shared. For whatever gifts they may have brought. For their unseen presence in your life. Perhaps your heart eases open a little further. Perhaps the cares that normally weigh on you or constrict you lighten. Send your thanks after them. Send your thanks. When the last ancestor has retreated, you are alone again in that deep and dark cave of knowing. Send out your thanks to this body that is your physical self, your teacher, and your friend, who travels with you from the beginning of this life to its ending. Send out your thanks. And as you rest again in the dark, deep within of your cave of knowing, I invite you to send out a question to your body, your teacher, your friend. Body self, what do you need now and in the future in order to be vibrant, to be fully alive, to be the most ourselves that we can be? What do you need? Then let the answer roll back to you in whatever form it takes. Maybe a picture. One picture or several. Might be a word or words that rise up in your body or your mind. Might be a sensation. Just a knowing when the answer arrives or if nothing arrives. Send out thanks to your body and compassion. This is the graceful, warm, joyous self who makes a way through this dense and challenging world. So send out thanks and love and whatever promises you might want to make to this faithful friend. And once again, gently notice the feel of your body, the tide of your breath coming in, going out, coming in, going out. And give some of your attention, if you will, to the places where your body touches the earth in her guise of chair or floor. Notice how you are drawn to her. how she rises up to meet you, to support you. And notice the tide of your breath coming in, going out, nourishing you. And then when you're ready, rise back up into the light. Rise into the light. Open your eyes. So take a deep breath. Let your eyes become accustomed to the light. Have a good look around. If you have writing materials at hand, this is a good time to pause and to jot down anything that you want to remember, to remind yourself of later that happened during the past minutes or that you want to remember later. I'll be rattling briefly a minute to allow you to do this before the experience fades from your consciousness. Take another deep breath, stretch maybe, and I promise to stop telling you what to do. So, that was our solstice journey into the dark. It's a bit of ceremony, and let me tell you what shamans mean by ceremony. We mean that it is a structure or a container inside of which people, us ourselves, and spirit can meet. So it's a sort of a meeting ground on which we can come into contact with spirit, because it's outside of our normal experience, and it allows spirit to reach through and press their face against the window and breathe mystery into us and say to us whatever it is that we need to hear. So that was our ceremony. And now what I would like to do, since we're nearly finished with this adventure, there's just one more thing. Sort of round out the day. There must be a story, because the deep of winter, where we are, where I am, so I'm in the northern hemisphere, so in the southern hemisphere, I apologize, you're having this sort of turned on its head, but in the deep of winter in the northern hemisphere, it's time for storytelling, because you're sort of confined, you know, the hours of the day are shortened tremendously where I am in the far north, and so those hours of darkness, you can sleep, but storytelling, the passing on of the wisdom of accumulated generations as expressed in story, which is much more interesting than just having it passed on to you fairly dryly, is sort of de rigueur. It just has to happen. So here we are, nearly on the night of nights. So we need a story, and my DNA runs straight back into the far north, so you wouldn't know it to look at me, but definitely Scandinavian. And into the regions where the reindeer is the source of life. So if you're American and in the far north, it's the caribou, which is the same, basically the same entity. And in the far north here in Europe, it is the reindeer, which lived as far south as northern England and Scotland and Ireland at one point in time before the climate warmed. So that's back during the beginnings of the interglacial period. So that was back when the Earth was young, you know, in storytelling terms. And so although I can look at my train of DNA and know that it leads all the way back into the Rift Valley of Africa, really, if you want to talk about first people and when the Earth was young, but this was, the Earth is young enough and first enough people. So from my ancestral DNA to you, here is a gift. And this is how reindeer fetched the sun. And I'm just going to put in one little academic note here, which is that reindeer mating season is in the autumn. And after mating, the males all lose their antlers and they'll grow them again in the spring. So any deer with, well, any reindeer with antlers in the winter months is a female, just so you know. You have a little bit of scientific background. So here is how reindeer fetched the sun. Long ago, when the world was very young, and our ancestors, the first people, had just climbed up out of the earth and into the air, the sun and the moon and the stars were not accustomed to keeping their regular courses in the sky. They used to wander this way and that, following their whims, exploring the fresh and exciting landscapes and creatures that were still taking shape beneath them. The sun especially was intrigued and fascinated by all that she could see from her lofty home. She followed the courses of rivers from the source to the sea, and from the sea back to the source again, marveling at waterfalls and rapids, deep pools and mighty currents. She hovered over rainforests, admiring the bright plumage of birds and the acrobatics of monkeys. She reveled in the broadness of savanna and plain and desert, feeling the heat of the wind fan her face. She looked upon the sharpness of mountain peaks, breathed in the chill air off of their snowfields until the snow began to melt, and then she moved on. There seemed no end to the marvels that this new world opened up to her. And of course, everywhere that the sun gazed was in bright daylight and absorbed the life-giving heat and light that she brings. And everywhere that the sun was not looking was in darkness and experienced the restorative cool and rest of nighttime. As time went on, the sun became so engrossed with her explorations that she completely forgot that she was tasked by the Creator to spread her life-giving light and heat evenly enough across this world so that plants and animals and the first people could find food and water and make their lives successfully wherever they were. The people of the far north became very good at resting and working in the dark. And because the sun spent so much time away from them in the south, the animals and plants that lived near them on the small amount of sunlight that they received continued to manage, if not to entirely flourish. The first people built fires to light the darkness, made up songs, and told stories to pass the dark times together. Surely, they thought, as the dark days stretched on one after another, the sun will hear us that we are talking together and singing new songs, and she will be intrigued, and she'll come back to us. But days stretched into weeks, which stretched into months of darkness, and still the sun did not return. Then the snow began to fall. Now, a bit of snow is a fine thing, and a good bit of snow can be restorative. But it fell, and it fell, and it fell. The plants could no longer grow. The animals could not find the earth beneath its white coating in order to graze. And the first people found that even their fires could not keep them warm. Well, there was nothing else for it. They called out, "Creator, Creator, this sun that you gave us to keep us warm and give light to the day has wandered off and we are left cold and hungry and in permanent darkness. If she does not return to us, we will die. And then what would be the point of having created us in the first place? And the Creator had to agree. There was a huge sigh, a gust of Arctic wind, which ruffled the surface of the snow that now covered everything. And the Creator said, I must send a messenger to remind the sun that she has made a promise to share her light and heat with all the world. For when I set her in the sky in all her brilliance, that is what I ask of her, and she agreed. After a moment of silence, Fox yipped. I will go and fetch the sun, for I long to feel her heat on my coat and to have light to hunt by. First woman clapped her hands. Oh, yes, she cried. Fox is very light of foot and can run to the top on the top of the snow to reach the regions where the sun shines and bring her back to us. But First Child said, oh, no, I've watched Fox play in the snow catching mice. At the first sound of a mouse or the scent of food, she'll become distracted and forget her task. And Fox hung her head, for she loved hunting mice more than anything, and she knew that First Child was right. Then Wolf said, I will go and fetch the sun back to us, for I long to stretch myself in her brilliance and be warm. And First Child called out, oh, yes, Wolf is fast and fierce, and will find her way to the sun and bring her back to us. But First Man said, no, no, for with the moon in the sky so much of the time, Wolf is bound to need to sing, to throw back her head to the heavens and give voice to her love of the moon and the stars, and she will lose herself in the song and forget why she went on such an adventure. And Wolf hung her head, for she loved a good howl more than anything, and she knew First Man was right. Then Bear stepped forward and growled, I will go and fetch the sun. First Man exclaimed, this is good, for Bear is very strong and will not let anyone stop her from bringing us back the sun. But First Woman said, no, 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 for Bear is always hungry, and at the first cooking fire, she will stop and to eat and to gossip, and she will forget what she is about. And Bear hung her head, for she loved to eat and to gossip more than anything, and she knew that First Woman was right. After this, there was a long silence, until from outside the firelight, a voice said, I will go. It was Reindeer, who had been shielding them from the wind and snow with her shaggy back. There was another long silence while all present considered. Reindeer was not fierce and fast as Wolf, nor was she as light across the snow as Fox, nor certainly as strong as Bear. But none could bring themselves to speak against her going. It was the Creator who answered her. Was it not Reindeer who gave us her great heart to beat at the center of creation and give it life? Is it not in her very nature to bless all things? Of course we can depend on her. Of course she will go. And so Reindeer set off, while all the new creation in the far north shivered and huddled against the wind. After a while, Reindeer saw that the sky was not quite so black. Ah, she said, I am headed in the right direction. And she continued on. Further on, the sky had paled to a deep gray and then to a bluey pink. It cannot be far now, Reindeer said to herself. And sure enough, soon the sky was a clear blue and she could see the sun dancing in the heavens. Sun, my sister, Reindeer called, and the sun came to her, eyes flashing with excitement. What brings you so far from your home, Reindeer? She asked. It is too hot for you here. Yes, it is, and it is nearly too cold for me at home, for my sister the sun has been gone far too long, and we need her to fulfill her promise and return to warm us for a while. And then the sun hung her head, for she knew that Reindeer was right. But I am so tired, my sister. I must rest here a while longer, for I have traveled so very far. And indeed the sun did look tired and even a bit dull compared with her usual bright self. Reindeer, mindful of the plight of her community in the far north, leaned her head with its mighty spread of antlers towards the sun and said, "Rest here in this cradle I have prepared for you, and I will carry you for a while. For you have truly journeyed far, but your brothers and sisters in the far north need you now." So the sun sighed and climbed into the reindeer's antlers. She snuggled herself down and fell fast asleep, while Reindeer made her way slowly northward and northward and northward, until at last the sun yawned and stretched and found her way far enough into the northern sky to melt most of the snow, to allow the plants to grow and to blossom, and the animals to flourish once more. And that is how Reindeer fetched the sun. But of course, every year at the summer solstice, the sights and sounds of the south get the better of her and entice the sun away again, and darkness comes to the far north. And every year at the winter solstice, Reindeer patiently finds her way into country that is far too hot for her comfort, and gently carries the weary sun back to us in the generous cradle of her antlers. Now, all that remains for you and for me to do is to say thank you. Thank you to the spirits of the East who caretake what is young in us. Thank you to the spirits of the South who help us to come to full fruition. Thank you to the spirits of the West who teach us to be impeccable warriors. Thank you to the spirits of the North, our ancestors, who love us. Thank you to the spirits of above who shed their light on our path. Thank you to the earth of whom we are made and whose we are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that concludes this winter solstice ceremony and this show. With only a pause for a bit of shameless self-promotion now. Right, reminding you, my name is Laurie McNeil, and I'm a shamanic practitioner. I practice healing and divination, and I teach. So if you have questions about shamanism, about life in general, if you'd like me to do healing work for you at a distance or in person, or if you'd like a destiny reading, or a consultation, or a Skype mini workshop, please get in touch. My contact details are on the News for the Soul website, newsforthesoul.com, and I would love to hear from you. So please do send your questions, your feedback, and your comments. So thank you for being here with me, for spending this time, with spirit, and I will give you back to Nicole.